hair done, Chris? Yeah, okay. It looks different. Well, mine's windblown too. Okay, let's get back on subject. All right. Be a good example. And it's taken from 1 Timothy 4 and verse 12, where Paul tells them, "Let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity, show yourself an example of those who believe." All right. See, each and every one of us is an example of some kind to someone somewhere. And it can be a compliment to be imitated by somebody. You know, that's what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11:1, "Be imitators of me as I am of Christ." We just got to make sure that if we decide to imitate somebody, they're doing the right thing. And so, no one is exempt from being an example. You know, Romans 14:7, we're all accountable to the same God. And so, whether we're good or bad, we still have to be accountable to God. And so, we're not exempt from being an example. And it's one of the best ways to teach any lesson. Of course, we know that. And a fellow by the name of Edgar Guest, he said, "For I may misunderstand you and the high advice you give, but there's no misunderstanding how you act and how you live." I mean, that's true. And Mark Twain says, "I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day." And that's right. We teach sermons. We teach lessons by the way we live. So Mr. Webster says, example is one, a portion taken to show the character quality of all, or what we might call a sample, and then that which is to be followed or imitated, a pattern. All right, examples can be either good or bad. We know that's the case. The Egyptians were bad examples, were not to be followed by the Israelites. When they came into the, actually they were still in the wilderness, but they were said, don't be like the Egyptians back there. Why? Because they believed in multiple gods. And they worshipped idols. Even the children of Israel brought idols with them when they came out of Egypt. And so they were bad examples for the Israelites. And sometimes, the majority sometimes, are bad examples to follow. If Exodus 23 and 2 says, "Do not go with a crowd towards evil." In other words, don't join the big crowd just because everybody is doing it. How many times have we heard our kids say something, "Well, everybody else is doing it"? Then, of course, the common retort, "Well, if they jumped off the bridge, would you go with them?" I mean, but still, the majority is not really, and in this area especially, the majority is not focused on serving God. And so they're bad examples to follow. And of course, it got to that point, as God said in Genesis 6, the story of Noah, he looked at man and says, "I repent that I made man, because his every thought is evil continuously." All right, so many times our own relatives are bad examples. When they were relaying the story of their history, 2 Chronicles 30, David's talking to the people and giving them some final war. Actually, it was Josiah. And he explained, "Your parents, your grandparents, your great-grandparents have not been faithful. They have not served God like they're supposed to. And we need to get back to serving God the way we are supposed to." And so that's what you would read there in 2 Chronicles 30, verses 6 through 9. It's your ancestors, and he was really explaining, it's your ancestors are the reason we're in the shape we're in. And then, of course, we know at various times sons followed wicked fathers as kings over Israel. A wicked king, Manasseh, his son was a wicked king. And then other kings are mentioned that he followed in the steps of his father. Especially now, all the kings over Israel, they all did evil. And of course, now the kings of Judah, some were good, some were bad, and it's amazing that some bad kings produced some good kings. And then some good kings, the sons would turn around and be evil. But still, all the sons of the Israelite kings continued in their father's steps towards evil. And many fathers or mothers today are not setting the right example for their children. And so, you know, do as I say, don't do as I do. I mean, that's pretty common in our world today, it seems like. All right, our hearts do not always set the right example. You know, we have to be very careful. Sometimes it's our own heart that has the wrong disposition towards God. Jeremiah talked about that. And Jeremiah had a lot to say about people, and he was telling them, your hearts are not the right place. That's where they need to be. And people say, well, I'll just follow the feelings of my heart. Well, God warns about that. Jeremiah 17, verse 9. He says, the heart is more wicked. The heart is more deceptive. And who can know the heart? I, the Lord, I test the heart. I test the mind. Even so, to render to every man according to what he hath done. And so that's what we read there. Sometimes feelings are not the right way to go, because your feelings can get mixed up. Personal emotions can get mixed in with that. Similar to conscience that we're going to talk about next month. See, we're not to follow after evil examples. And so 3 John 11, there's an example of the Diotrephes. He said, don't be like him. He's just not right. In Romans 12, 9, we're supposed to do good for everybody, but some people you need to stay away from. Now, we can be good examples and follow after good examples, which God wants us to do. We need to be good examples to those around us. They need to see us living righteously when we're at home. Not just the fact that maybe they see us drive off and go to church on Sunday morning, or drive off somewhere every Sunday morning. Some people don't even think about that. A lot of people look out at the cars out there on Sunday morning. Are they all going to church? Well, we know they're not. But maybe they got poker they play every Sunday morning. How are they going to know unless you let them know? I'm going to church. Would you like to go with me? I mean, we can be good examples. See, we can be examples in faith. 1 Thessalonians 1, 6 through 8 talks about that. The Thessalonians were commended for their faith because it was strong, because they believed what they were taught, and they put it into practice in their lives. And so he says, you have become an example to all the brotherhood. And so they had a reputation. They were faithful. And then, following, of course, our main scripture, be an example in good works. Titus 2, 7 and 8 talks about the older men should be teaching the younger men, the older women teaching the younger women how to be the right kind of person. And that's what we need to do. And that's included in the idea of the elderly bearing good fruit. How can we do that? By teaching our young people and reteaching our young people if necessary. And we'll be talking about that, I believe, next week. Example in suffering and patience. We know we have to do that. Sometimes we are suffering, but yet we can be an example there. We come under situations which are not uncommon to all of mankind. We face the same things they face. We face the same problems. We face the same situation, politics and everything else. Only how do we handle it? We handle it differently than they handle it. And sometimes that's an example that somebody is paying attention. You know, when someone asks you, how come you're so calm? I mean, when things are in uproar and things are going crazy, how can you be so calm? How come it doesn't get to you? People say things about you. They make accusations against you. And you just let it slide like the water off a duck's back. How can you do that? I mean, it's just an example that we're supposed to show to others. We know that Christ was a good example. You know, 1 Peter 2, 11 through 25, spends all that time talking about Christ. Really, he's our perfect example. He showed us how to live. He showed us how to die. And he showed us that God comes first. And so he is the greatest of all examples. When you think about it, he was a good example we should follow and be like him. Elders are commanded to be good examples. When we have elders, they need to be good examples. And I know all of us at one time or another, we've run across elders who were not good examples. They really shouldn't have been elders in the first place. And we've seen that. And of course, that causes harm in the community. Where I came from in Ranger, the church had a split many years ago because one of the elders always was out on the lake Sunday morning, but yet he still, instead of going to church, and Sunday night he'd come in and say, well, what do we need to fix? I mean, he still wanted to be an elder. He says, you can't get rid of me. I mean, this is a lifetime appointment. The other elder, who has happened to be the head of the bank, he was a womanizer. The whole town knew it. And so finally, some people had enough, said, no, we're not going to put up with this anymore. So they just split the congregation and started a new congregation. But elders are supposed to be good examples. When they're not good examples, that's not good. 1 Peter 5:3, you lead by example, not by lording it over them, but lead by example. Women are be good examples. 1 Peter 3, 1 through 6, talks about the woman that, who knows, that maybe her chaste behavior will be enough to impress her family, her husband, to become faithful. And Paul also talks about this in 1 Corinthians 7, that the woman has an influence over her husband in the fact of how she behaves. If she behaves as God has told her to behave, then that's a good example. But if she's like everybody else, then she's not. So women can be good examples. Parents are to be good examples. Ephesians 6:4, lead them by example. And that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to set the example. We're supposed to set our kids on a course of action where they'll be faithful. A lot of parents these days, they're looking at things like, how can they be the most popular? How can be that way? And they're looking at the wrong things. They dress their little girls in little short skirts, and oh, you're so cute. I mean, have you all seen that meme on Facebook where the little toddler says a curse word, oh, that's so cute, and then dresses like this, and then all of a sudden she ends up pregnant? Where did I go wrong? The Bible says. But parents are supposed to be setting the example. You don't put them on a bus and say, go to church, and then you stay home and sleep in. That's not going to do any good. See, teachers are to be good examples. You know, Romans 2, 21 through 24, and 1 Timothy 2, 18, 8 through 15, Titus 2, 1 through 10, James 3, 1. We're to be good examples. Teachers are to be good examples. And when they're not good examples, someone needs to have the courage to tell them, you're not being a good example. And then preachers are to be good examples. 1 Timothy 4:12, as our main text says, let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity, show yourself an example to those who believe. We need to be examples of faithfulness, all of us should, preacher especially, because apparently there's a little slight double standard there, and we've heard about that too. Preachers expected to be on one level, while everybody else feels it's okay to be on another level. No, we all got to be on the same level. See, all Christians should be good examples. And they should be good examples in the Word. Ephesians 4:20, got to know the Word. Colossians 4 and 6 and 1 Peter 4:11, speaking as the oracles of God. And so examples in the Word, in other words, this is what God's Word says. We need to live it. Not just tell somebody, well, you need to obey the Bible. It's like you're a drunkard saying, well, you need to go to church. Yeah, we've seen parodies of that. But still, if we're going to preach the Word, we need to live the Word. That's the only way it's going to be effective. And then our manner of life, our conduct, how we behave. I mean, it's pretty much saying the same thing. If we walk the walk, we've got to talk. If we're to talk the talk, we've got to walk the walk, right? Okay, in a manner of life. You know, Matthew 5, 13 through 16, salt of the earth, light of the world. I mean, let your light shine. We're supposed to do that. In our faith, we have to have faith. We have to be an example that we believe what God said. Plain and simple. Now, you don't really believe the flood was covered, the earth was covered with the floodwaters, do you? Absolutely. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says the waters covered the face of the earth. So, yes, I believe it. I believe God created the heavens and the earth. We believe it because this is the faith that we have. A lot of people want to sit back and question, do you really believe that? Do you really believe a man walked on water? Do you really believe he healed just by looking and talking to them or touching them? And absolutely. If it's in the Bible, we've got to believe it. And we've got to live in such a way that we convince the world that we believe it. Because not only did all these events take place, promises were made. We have to have confidence that those promises are going to be fulfilled. And so far, God has a pretty good record of keeping promises. Not one has failed. So yes, we need faith. And of course, we need to be examples of showing love towards one another. John 13:35, Jesus said, this how you show the world that you're brethren because you love one another. And we read for this morning, 1 John 5:3. This is our love, is when we keep his commandments. That's how we demonstrate love to God. We keep his commandments, and then that's an example we show to others. And then keeping ourselves pure. Free from the pollution of this world. I mean, the pure in heart. We need to be considering that. Pure and undefiled religion, James 1:27. That's what it is. I mean, keeping oneself unspotted from the world. I mean, this world has a lot of nasty stuff in it. And if we allow that to stain us, we get in trouble. So we've got to stay unspotted from this world. So we need to ask ourselves two questions. Am I a good example? And that's something you're just going to have to ask yourself over and over, every day. How can I be a good example? See, if every member were like me, what type of congregation would this one be? There's another question we can ask. You know, if everyone was like me, I mean, there's some people, they sporadic in their attendance. What if the whole congregation was like that? But what if everyone was filled with zeal and excitement about the gospel and wanted to share it? So if you're a good example now, continue to be one. And if you're not a good example now, become one. I mean, that's as simple as it can get. That's what we need to consider. So, that's the lesson tonight. Very simple, very plain. The command, be a good example, is what we're supposed to be mindful of. And so, We encourage you to do that. All of you in this room are good examples, I'll tell you that right now. Your faithfulness is strong, and I appreciate that so much. We just need to work on the rest of our members and get them more excited, more involved in our church responsibilities. All right, we're going to sing the invitation song. If anyone has a need to respond, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.